Hi, this is Larry Wilson, and this is How to Talk to Humans. This is the podcast that shows you how to improve your communication skills. Are you looking to get a better job? Are you looking to find a relationship? Are you trying to do things in your life that have frustrated you and eluded you so far? I can show you so easily how to change that. Now, I can only do it with humans. If you're looking to deal with vampires or zombies, extraterrestrials, this is not the show for you. But if you're really looking to improve your communication skills, I can show you what I've learned from 40 years in show business working with the biggest celebrities and superstars in the world, and their secrets are unbelievable. What I'm going to be teaching you during the course of this podcast every week are tools that you can use to communicate toward success. Hi, this is Larry Wilson. Thanks once again for joining me for another episode of How to Talk to Humans. This is a follow-up, actually, in entertainment, particularly in stand-up comedy. You would call this a callback, because it references something that came earlier that then forces the listener to become a co-creator of the event, because in your mind, you're making the connections and thinking, oh yeah, he said this. A few episodes back, I was talking about how I came to develop Wilson Method and all that sort of thing. After I completed the episode, my producer, Igor, he was very diplomatic, but he said, you know, you gave very, very good information there, and you told these people exactly what he said, but you didn't really give any of the sizzle. And he said, you know, you mentioned, yeah, that you're an entertainer, but you kind of threw away the fact that you were on television. You sort of just very casually mentioned that. And he felt I was being too modest. So let me, for the record, correct that by saying I'm really, really great. For those of you who aren't sure, I mean, I'm so great, even I can't believe it sometimes. I hope that will offset some of my modesty. But truthfully, it's not a modesty, I think, on my part. It's that I want to focus on things that are practical and usable. I want to be able to present things that you can find are things you can implement immediately. Now, in deference to my producer, I will say this. Yes, I've been on television hundreds of times. I was nominated for an Emmy Award. And I stand by this assertion on my part that it had nothing to do with talent. Absolutely nothing. It had to do with my skill as a communicator. Someone else may feel differently, but I insist this is the case. And also still in deference to my producer, I don't know why this came to mind, but I did so many television appearances. And I should point out that I was on television in the days when not everyone in the world was on television. Now, of course, well, with YouTube and with TikTok and blah, 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 everyone is a television star. So I don't mean to belittle them. I just mean that it had a different cachet in the days when I was seemed to be on television every week, sometimes more than once a week. For no reason, I think of a show I did, and I apologize. I can't remember the actual show it was. I just remember my career has been spent as a comedy magician, and still is to this day. That's what I do. That's where I'm traveling. If I'm not training people for Wilson Method, then I'm performing as Larry Wilson, comedy magician. I was voted Comedy Magician of the Year by the prestigious Forte Awards. These are the kinds of things I think that my producer is hoping I'll tell you. And of course, they're very valuable and important to establish that I'm not just some lone kook someplace sitting around in my underwear in the basement, blathering about my theories about things. I'm not really a big fan of theory. I'm very interested in things that actually work. I'm particularly interested in understanding them and learning why they work, but it's not always that important to me if I don't understand. More important to find out the things that actually work and then doing those things. I was saying that I had been on television 100 times, this show that I couldn't remember what show it was. It was a show where the host would frequently have celebrities on to cook their favorite recipe. And as a joke, I'd been on the show multiple times. I told the producer, I said, how come you never have me on to cook? And they were very excited. They said, oh, you cook your... I said, yes. And of course, I didn't. I, you know, I can cook now, but in those days, I was a, you know, wild and crazy bachelor. I didn't... I had a kitchen, had a refrigerator, didn't have anything in it, you know. But I said, oh, yeah, yeah. And so they said, well, we'd love to have you on to do that. So I created a comedy magic routine that involved all different manner of things that had to do with food. So it looked, I presented it like it was a recipe. I was going to cook my recipe for rabbit stew. And all it was an excuse to do a bunch of very funny, silly, visual, magic things, where someone would read a recipe and I would misunderstand what they were saying. They would say, you know, a little flour, and I would then produce a carnation or a, you know, a flower, things like that. And they were all very rapid fire gags. And then it was just clearly a mess. It couldn't possibly really result in anything that was be editable, but I was producing rice out of nowhere, and then I was fermenting it into rice wine, and I was evaporating my own milk and all these crazy things. And then finally, all this mess was in a big chafing dish, and I would throw in a match and it explode in flames, and I would cover it, and someone involved in the routine would say, oh, that's rabbit stew, and I'd say, no, and I'd take the lid off and say, that's my rabbit stew, and there was a live rabbit there with a neck tag that said Stewart on it. So that was the routine. So the reason this popped into my mind right now is because the producers were so excited about this idea. I mean, they understood right away, oh, this is a joke. Larry doesn't really cook. So they said, we've got 2 celebrities who are going to be on the show with you. So one of them will assist you with the preparation, and the other one will be reading the recipe. And I thought, oh, this is a funny. This is should be really good. Well, what they didn't explain to me is when we got there to rehearse this, my 2 assistants were Dick Van Dyke and Lucille Ball. And it was kind of a gobsmacking moment. So many times in my career seemed to sort of take place out of body, where I knew that something was going on, but it seemed so impossible. And I didn't really know how to process that. I grew up watching Dick Van Dyke and Lucille Ball. I mean, they were giants, icons. They're extraordinary performers. And at the time, I wasn't smart enough or experienced enough to worry about some of the things that you might worry about in that situation. Afterward, I thought, oh, wow, I have to be careful because I have to make them look good and I don't want to embarrass them. Well, of course, this was ridiculous. These are 2 old pros. These are people who have so much extraordinary amount of experience. who've done 10,000 times more television than I had ever done and knew so much and seen so much. And of course, I feel bad saying this to you. It's hard for younger people to understand, but there wasn't always the internet, and there wasn't always everything available at your fingertips instantly for free. Before the internet was involved, if you were on television and you performed on television, you had to sort of be there to see it when it aired. There was no streaming. You couldn't just say, oh, I'll go on and find it. No. If you didn't see it when it was scheduled to air, then you missed it. And so many of us performers who did these sorts of shows, you may say, well, why didn't you just videotape it? Well, because videotape equipment was very expensive. It was much somewhere down the line where they started to have consumer quality equipment, and then there was VHS equipment that you could use that was less expensive. But and there were also all these rules and regulations that you couldn't hire someone to record the show. This is what they told us. I don't even know if this is true, but this is because it was a potential copyright violation that they weren't supposed to do. So what you would do is you would pay an exorbitant sum of money to a company who would perform what was called an air check. Ostensibly, they were checking to make sure that a television program that aired was coming across adequately. But what they were really doing was recording the section of the show that you appeared in. I can't remember what it cost, or I'm afraid I do remember, and it's too painful to recall. In those days, in those early days of so much of this technology evolving so rapidly, so I would frequently spend money to have these companies do an air check. And so then I would have a 3/4-inch U-Matic cassette, a Sony U-Matic cassette, that would have the section of the show that I appeared on. And then it would have to be transferred and on, painful, long, involved process to get all these things. And it's so expensive. This show that I'm telling you about with me and Dick Van Dyke and Lucille Ball doing the magical cooking segment, I thought, this could be a keeper. This is worth whatever it costs me. I thought, I'm going to be smarter this time. I went to a company that I frequently used and said, it's scheduled for this date at this time on this channel. And they said, got it. Okay. Then I went to a second company and did the same thing. Said, I've got this show coming up. I'd like you to do an air check. It's about a 5-minute piece. And it's on this channel, on this show, on this time. They said, got it. And I thought, okay. So, of course, also for the benefit of younger listeners, you would record a television show. It might not air for a month or 2 months. It didn't come on immediately. So I had some prep time. And then I saw there was a publication, a hard copy publication called the TV Guide. And it was an elaborate publication that had a listing of every channel. Now, there were only about 7 or 8 channels, but it would show what show was playing at what time. Of course, that ended at 10 o'clock because there was nothing on past 10 o'clock. You know, or it might say The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, I guess. But they had everything in there and they would have a description. So it would say, magician Larry Wilson appears with, you know, Dick Van Dyke and Lucille Ball. So I saw it and I was very excited. Called both my air check companies to confirm, yes, we got it. Okay. So I see the piece and it's incredible. Not because of me, but it's a masterclass watching Lucille Ball and Dick Van Dyke make me look better than I was. I had already begun to understand the power of communication at that point. I had not formulated Wilson Method in full bloom yet, but I already started to get the idea. And I could see this is absolutely foundational, how their generosity as performers, the way they interacted with me, made me look better. There's no question that they were making me look better. I've met people in my life who are loath to give credit where credit is due. They're loath to acknowledge people who have helped them or assisted in some way or other. I think they feel it diminishes their personal power. I'm here to tell you they couldn't be more wrong. When you give credit where it is due, when you acknowledge the people who've helped you, when you point out people who are assisting you, it makes you more powerful. We, the listener or viewer, can instantly perceive the connection you have with the person you're referencing. But unconsciously, we also understand that you're not so needy or desperate that you have to make yourself the prime focus of attention at all times. That kind of self-effacing behavior always wins the day. Always. I've never seen it go the other direction. I've never seen it fail. And these pros, these, I say old, I'm not trying to be dismissive. I'm trying to suggest that they had so much experience. They weren't even thinking about it. That's just the way they worked. And I hasten to point out, I have worked with other performers in my time who are not as generous. They weren't as talented as Lucy or Dick Van Dyke. They certainly didn't have those chops. I've worked with other people who could not share the stage with anyone or work with anyone. The very greatest performers I've ever seen are always trying to make the people they're working with look better. And now that you're attuned to that, if you really pay attention, you'll see it. You'll see examples of it, especially the most obvious and easily accessible is in entertainment, because you can turn on your phone or computer or whatever, see anything you care to see, but you'll see examples of it. And it's not a new phenomenon. I don't want you to suspect that this is some byproduct of the internet or TikTok or something. You can find kinescopes, which are film recordings of live television broadcasts from the 30s and 40s. When you see someone like a Jack Benny, his comedy timing is virtually flawless. And if you seriously watch some episodes of anything he's on, you'll see him making everyone around him look better. This is strictly a function of expert level communication skills. That's all it is. That's all it is. Now, the keynote for this whole story about this episode is I knew that this is something I was going to treasure, this piece of video. So I called up my first air check person. They said, I'm so sorry to tell you this. We had some kind of power failure. We had a timer set to record your show. All of our stuff went down. We didn't get it. And I was devastated. I mean, I just thought, oh, God. But then I thought, oh, wait. I have the backup. So I called the backup guy. And I said, this is Larry Wilson, the magician. And I called you about recording the thing. And they said, yeah. Is that coming up soon? And I couldn't tell you what my response was, but I'm sure it wasn't good. So I had not intended this to be the message of this particular episode of the podcast. But if there's someone out there somewhere in the universe who for some reason has that piece of videotape, I surely would love to see it if I could. I long ago gave up any hope of ever finding it, particularly because, again, it's hard for younger people to understand, but digital storage of material was extremely expensive and required huge amounts of data capability. I remember very, very clearly someone who worked on a show, and I can't remember, I want to say maybe it was a Merv Griffin show, I ran into someplace socially in Los Angeles. They said, oh, you know, that last episode you did was so great. Would you like a copy of that? And I said, I'd love it. And this guy said, yeah, I wanted to make sure that I got it for you because they've decided they're going to erase all the shows they've done. Now, they're taping 5 shows a week, and it'd been like, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And I said, what? They said, oh, yeah. It's too expensive. They're going to degauss, which is a process of completely erasing all the information on tape, so that they can use the tape again to record new shows. So I have sort of resigned myself to the idea that a lot of my performances have been degaussed. And that's all right, because the original, the main source, is still around. That's me, and I'm still producing content. So it would be nice sometimes for nostalgia's sake to be able to see it, but if you can't, at least I'm pleased that I'm still around and still kicking. And I can only urge you again, those of you who are really serious about improving your communication skills. I sometimes tell my students the air is thick with information. There's so much around you. And nowadays, with the internet, it's at your fingertips. So don't hesitate. Watch as much as you can and take note. Because I always believe that you can learn as much, if not more, from bad communication as you can from good. I'm Larry Wilson. I'm hoping to have you join me again next week for another episode of How to Talk to Humans. This has been Larry Wilson. I want to thank you for spending this time with me, and I hope you found this information useful. If you're looking for more, you can find it at thewilsonmethod.com. There's a ton of stuff there. In fact, if you want, you can even speak to me because I'm human. Send me an email at info@wilsonmethod.com because I read every single one. I hope that you'll join us next week in this continuing journey. And you'll be with me for the next episode of How to Talk to Humans.